Well, this morning we are resuming our series asking the question, what is God saying to us from the book of Jeremiah? And this morning, I'd like us to look specifically at what God is saying to us about our pain. And we'll be in Jeremiah chapter 20 this morning, if you'd like to turn there. And I'd like to start by reading the first few verses beginning at verse 1. So when the priest Pashur, son of Emer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pashur released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord's name for you is not Pashur, but terror on every side." And then in verse 7, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Jeremiah has a nickname that we haven't yet referred to in this series. But he's largely known not as the happy prophet, but the weeping prophet. Not the laughing prophet, the weeping prophet. I mean, tears are rather amazing. Medically, we now know that tears keep our eyes lubricated. They provide health-giving chemicals. Tears contain antimicrobial substances, including proteins and enzymes that help defend the eye from bacteria and other pathogens. They also wash away irritants when something gets in your eye. But what's especially fascinating is that tears contain a higher level than usual of stress hormones like cortisol. So when we cry, it's part of God's way of helping our body flush stress out of our life. In fact, some recent studies have indicated that crying can stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system in our body to promote relaxation and emotional balance again. It's part of God's ingenious design for keeping us healthy. And most of us associate something really negative with weeping and tears, but it's really part of God's gift to us. And if we go back for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, we see a picture of Jeremiah's tears here. Jeremiah says, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." Maybe you've heard someone say, "I've cried so much, I don't think I have any tears left." And Jeremiah had gotten to that point, and he's saying, "My heart is just so broken over the way the people in Jerusalem have just turned their backs on God and how they're ignoring his warnings of judgment. My heart is just breaking. How I wish God would give me more tears to weep." And these are tears of grief for Jeremiah. "I'd wish my eyes were fountains of tears. I'd weep day and night for the slain of my people." But not only was he a weeping prophet, and not only were his tears a result of the grief he felt for the people he was preaching to, but he was also ministering to the people of Jerusalem out of a broken heart. You know, it's very common for preachers to have a broken heart for the people they're ministering to. It's a broken heart for the lost people in their community, for people who are living beneath God, where God wants them to be, for people who are hurting for whatever reason, because of their poor choices or for no fault of their own. And we need to lift up Pastor Chris as he works under the burden of a broken heart for Fontana Christian Church and the people of Miami and Linn counties. And I know him well enough to know he doesn't do it for a paycheck. He doesn't do it for the thank you notes. And yeah, the once a year pastor appreciation card and gift is nice, but that's not why he does it. He does it because he has a broken heart for lost people. And somehow God just grips our hearts with his love and helps us to see the world around us with his eyes, and our hearts, they just break like the heart of God breaks for every lost person. And this is sometimes what brings tears to our eyes. It's just God's grief for a broken world. And that's why he went to such great lengths of love so that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. You know, if you are in management with your company, maybe you're a teacher in a classroom, pastor, missionary, you also know what it is to get hurt by what you do. And Jeremiah was not only the weeping prophet out of grief or the rejection of God by the world around him, but he was hurting himself. In fact, part of the reason Jeremiah is so fascinating is because we know more about Jeremiah emotionally than any other prophet in the Old Testament. I mean, usually they're just preaching away. But like we see here in chapter 20, Jeremiah at times stops and becomes very emotionally transparent. And he has these genuinely honest conversations with God. And I'm so glad he was emotionally honest with God and with us. It reminds me that I can be honest with God also. I mean, I don't have to pretend to God because God's not intimidated what I think or feel. I mean, He wants to meet me right where I am. So of all the prophets, Jeremiah has the most intimate and human disclosures we see in the Bible. I mean, his conversations with God are often brutally honest and just emotionally raw. And part of the reason for that is because he's experiencing a lot of physical abuse. Physical abuse. I mean, we see that in verse 1. It says, when the priest Pashur, son of Immer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. To be beaten might have involved receiving 39 lashes with a whip or perhaps being beaten with rods. And then, on top of that, they put him in stocks, which was an additional instrument of torture. The word torture comes from the word for distortion. It puts your body in a distorted, unnatural place. I don't know if you've been to a theme park or a museum that had some stocks and bonds that you could actually put your hands and your head and perhaps your feet in. I've been there, and it was extremely uncomfortable. It's just painful to have your feet and your hands in stocks. And it was often done in a very public way. This was not a good night for Jeremiah. I mean, talk about a sleepless night. And then he ends up being released from the stocks the next morning, but his body has been beaten, followed by a painfully sleepless night. And we read in verse 3 that when Pashur comes to get him out the next day, Jeremiah says, I've changed your name. You're no longer Pashur. Your name is now terror on every side. I renamed you around 2 a.m. this morning. When I was in excruciating pain, I came up with a new name for you. Your name now is terror on every side. Jeremiah had physical pain unlike anything that you or I will likely face in our life. Though Christians in some parts of the world have experienced it, and even more. But he also faced the public humiliation that came from being in stocks. Public humiliation. But Jeremiah doesn't stop there. We read in verse 7, "You deceived me, Lord." This is public humiliation now. "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. When I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction." You see, the only sermon that God gave to Jeremiah is a sermon of judgment because they're worshiping demons and abusing children and exploiting women and practicing injustice in the courts and all the things that go along with idolatry. So Jeremiah is pronouncing God's judgment against all of that. And Jeremiah is telling God, "God, they don't listen to me. Instead, whenever I cry out proclaiming violence and judgment, they're just mocking me." So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. You know, perhaps, like you, I still remember being a kid and being made fun of at times. Yeah, it's amazing how things that happened to us decades ago can still leave us with hurtful memories. I mean, those kinds of things really don't hurt me anymore, but it's hard to forget those things. It never feels good to be made fun of, does it? Jeremiah was feeling the sting of people making fun of him. He said, "They're constantly mocking me. They're constantly ridiculing me. Every time I open my mouth and speak your word, Lord, all I get back is their words, and they're not encouraging. They're really hurting me." So in chapter 20, he's describing his physical pain and abuse. He's describing the pain of being humiliated and mocked. But he also describes the pain of betrayal. We see the pain of personal betrayal in verse 10. I hear many whispering. Terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip up, saying, "Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him." You know, it's one thing to hurt physically. It's another thing to be publicly humiliated. But when even your friends are turning against you, it can just be devastating. Ever wondered what your friends were saying about you behind your back? You know, I confess, I sometimes wonder what people are saying about their Sunday school teacher behind my back. Yeah, it'd be nice if I could be a fly on the wall and listen in on some of those conversations. But that wouldn't be wise. That wouldn't be wise. I mean, who knows what people really say about you behind your back? I mean, you think they're your friends, but Jeremiah said, "I unfortunately know what people are saying about me. In fact, even my own friends are saying, perhaps he'll be deceived. Even my friends are saying, I think we're finally going to get him in a gotcha moment here. We're finally going to get him, and we'll prevail over him. And we'll shut that guy up for good." And Jeremiah was feeling the deep, deep hurt of personal betrayal by his friends. That's a lot of pain. He was physically and emotionally deeply wounded by physical abuse. Suffered personal humiliation and personal betrayal. So what can we take away from this when it comes to facing our own pain? Parts of the Christian world are experiencing a lot of pain today. You know, a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing pain today for the same reason Jeremiah was. And we've talked recently about those who live in persecuted countries and the kind of persecution they face every day because of their faith in Jesus. And there are people who will probably be tortured and die today because they refuse to renounce their faith in Christ. They're like present-day Jeremiah's, so they're being killed. And they're going to be preaching the gospel to their tormentors. Millions of people in the last century have been killed because they would not, they refused to renounce Jesus. So we're living in an age of present-day Jeremiah's even today. I mean, they are experiencing physical pain and even the loss of their life because of their faith in Christ. Now, most of us sitting in this room are not being persecuted, however. I mean, you may be teased a little bit at work because you're a Christian. But if that's getting you down, grow up, okay? I mean, that's not pain compared to the realities in a lot of the unreached parts of the world where believers are standing heroically. And that's why we pray for the persecuted church. And I don't mean that insultingly to you. I don't mean to demean what it feels like when your friends make fun of you. I've been there. Matter of fact, I had lunch this past week with a group of fellow Garmin Aviation retirees. And one of them was talking about his visit to the Ark Museum in Williamson, Kentucky, and how he didn't believe science supported some of the things that they said there. And it didn't feel good as he looked primarily at me as he said it. But it's nothing compared to what many of our brothers and sisters around the world are facing because of their faith. Lord, touch and strengthen the persecuted church this morning. So most of us are not suffering like the persecuted church today in other parts of the world and like Jeremiah was suffering back then. But we still know pain, don't we? If you're over 10, you had a season of pain in your life at some point. How many of you can relate to that? And pain is very real. Pain can be debilitating. Pain can be even deadly in our lives. So what can we learn about how to face our own pain that is inevitable? Well, first of all, I want to encourage you to remember that Jesus has been there. I mean, those three experiences that Jeremiah had, Jesus felt all of them. He felt abuse, public humiliation, and betrayal. Jesus walked through all of these things. I mean, we typically see sterilized pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross. But here's a quick picture of Jesus on the cross that's much more realistic than we typically see. I mean, and it's brutal. I won't leave it up for long. If you're sensitive to blood, don't look. But this is the price of love. God loved us so much. He sent His Son, and He was slowly tortured to death on a cross. That's physical abuse. He was publicly humiliated. And usually people weren't crucified on a hill far away like the song that we are so familiar with. They were crucified on a main road and actually down low, close enough that people could spit on them as they walked by. Public humiliation was always associated with crucifixion. And he also felt the betrayal of one of his closest friends. He was arrested because one of his inner circle betrayed him. And then another one of his more verbal inner circle, Peter, betrays him three times. And almost everybody scatters and totally abandons him. Jesus understood betrayal and abandonment. He understood humiliation. He understood pain. He has been there. And wherever you are hurting, for whatever reason, Jesus has been there. And that reminds us that our pain is not a dead end. Because out of his pain came resurrection. And Jesus doesn't skip our pain to bring us life. He meets us in our brokenness. He meets us in our pain and in our hurting. He knows what it is to be betrayed by his friends. He knows what it is to be physically abused. He knows what it is to be made a laughingstock and publicly humiliated and embarrassed. And wherever your pain has taken you, he's been there too. And the second thing I believe we can learn from Jeremiah about facing our own pain is that we need to keep fueling the fire of our soul. Because God doesn't want us defeated by our pain. Our pain is not necessarily because we have no faith. It may have nothing to do with that. But there is something in our souls that God can give us that's stronger than our pain. And this is where chapter 20 of Jeremiah just sort of pivots. And Jeremiah is saying, I've been humiliated. They keep making fun of me, God. It was no fun getting whipped and then being up all night in those stocks in a public place. God, every time I open my mouth, it just causes me problems. In fact, in one of the verses we read earlier, Jeremiah is in essence saying, God, you oversold me on this job. And his exact words were, Lord, you deceived me. You oversold me on this job. You only told me part of what this was going to be. You just told me to preach. You didn't tell me I'd hurt this much. I mean, what is going on here? So when you're in extreme pain, what do you want to do? Well, you do anything you can to get out of that pain, don't you? So Jeremiah decided he's just going to stop preaching. He couldn't take the pain anymore. It just had to stop. So Jeremiah, the man of God, decided to stop preaching. But in verse 9, he says to himself, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. In fact, I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. You know, enduring the consequences is one thing. That's tough. But Jeremiah is in essence saying, it's tougher to hold back the fire of God's word in my bones. As bad as all that stuff is, it's even harder to keep my mouth shut. You know, we looked at God's calling in our very first lesson from Jeremiah. You may recall that back in chapter 1 when God called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, he's resisting God, calling on his... calling on God, he's saying, well, Lord, I'm just too young. And Lord, I've never had a speech class. And then what does God do? God touches Jeremiah's mouth and puts his word in Jeremiah's mouth. And the supernatural power and anointing of the Holy Spirit touches Jeremiah. God literally puts the power of his living word inside of Jeremiah in chapter 1. And it never leaves him. And now, a few years later, Jeremiah is getting beaten up. And he's getting humiliated. He's being betrayed by his friendship circles, and he decides to stop preaching. But he can't. Why? The fire of God's word that's just burning inside of him. Theologian P.T. Forsyth said, unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is about us or around. You ever wonder why six 250-pound football players can land on a little football and that football not collapse? It's because the pressure inside that football is greater than the weight of six 250-pound men on top of it. And Forsyth, in essence, is saying, unless there's something stronger, unless there's something in us that comes not from ourselves, but from above, speaking of the Spirit of God, then we're just going to be victims of all the pressures that are around us. We're going to be victims of our pain. We're going to get sympathy for our pain at times, but we're going to just stay stuck there for the rest of our lives, or we'll just collapse. Our pain lies to us. And so often out of our pain, we just say, God, forget it. I don't think you care about me anymore. I'm not sure you're even there. You know, it's interesting in the Old Testament when people complained about their pain, they never went so far as to conclude there is no God. They just went to the question, God, where are you? Because they assumed God loved them. They assumed the loving kindness of God. And that's why they could protest their pain. God, this doesn't align with what you are like. So where are you, God? And we see many people like Jeremiah respond out of their pain and say, God, what's going on? Where are you? Why? Because we know God's kind and He's touched us with the power of His Spirit and His Word. So we have something to protest about. Lord, what I'm going through doesn't seem to be what you're like. So I'm not going to give up my hope. I'm just going to hold on to you. And when we here in the New Testament come to this relationship with Jesus, when He washes our sin away and He puts the power of His Spirit in us, He puts a fire inside of us that just won't give up. It won't give up on the goodness of God because He's real to us. He's revealed Himself to us, and we can't take the advice that Lot's wife gave him and just curse God and die. No, there's something of the fire of God in us that just won't go there. So I want to encourage you to keep fueling God's fire in your heart? Larry's not here this morning, but I know Larry Thomas loves trains. I have a brother-in-law who loves trains. So when I traveled with him to Galveston in 2024, we had to visit the Galveston Railroad Museum. Now, this is a picture of the inside of a steam locomotive. And these are really quite fascinating pieces of engineering, to think they were engineered so many years ago. On the right hand, you see the shoulder of the engineer. And in front of him, the regulator or throttle, and I believe that red lever in front of him is the reverser. He also has brake controls, and he has gauges for pressure and also brake pressure. And then on the left-hand side, you see a guy shoveling coal into the firebox. He's called the fireman. And he's responsible for stoking the fire, which is the energy source for that steam engine. Now, my understanding is that it can take hours, sometimes an entire day, just to get the fire built up to where it needs to be to generate the steam needed to power that locomotive. And when the fire is where it needs to be, the fireman, he's constantly watching those steam pressure gauges, because the steam pressure then gets transmitted through those valves into mechanical energy. And it moves the wheels and it pulls the train, and he's constantly keeping his eye on the pressure gauge as well as the color of the smoke that's coming out of the smokestack, because then he knows whether the fire is hot enough and adequate to keep the steam pressure of the water that's boiling up. And the smoke can even indicate whether the fire is starting to wane or not. I'm telling you, we must do our homework, even when we're not in pain. We must keep the fire of the Holy Spirit stoked in us. We've got to keep the fire built up. And then when we're in pain, it cannot push us away from God, but it can push us into the heart of Jesus until our heart burns even more in love with Him. You know, when I felt the deepest pain is when I pressed into the heart of Jesus more than ever before. When I'm hurting, I pray. And you just go after the heart of Jesus. And when I'm blessed, which is most of the times, and when I'm comfortable, a lot of the time, I don't seem to have that desperation for the heart of Jesus that I do when I'm really hurting. You know, our pain will either destroy us spiritually, it'll drive us into the heart of Jesus. And instead of going out on the town, we just want to read our Bible and get some more scripture inside us because we feel like we're losing our bearings. So what do? We get the Word of God in us. And we just hunger for the Holy Spirit. And we're stoking the fire of our soul, so that no matter what happens around us, we can say, I feel like Jeremiah. He was honest with God and said, I feel like giving up right now, God, but something's burning in me that's keeping me in the game and reminding me that God loves me and reminding me that I have a purpose and reminding me that I have hope. And this is what God's doing by His Spirit in our lives. So we remember that, first of all, we're not alone in our pain. Jesus has been there. And so we keep fueling the fire in our soul. And then lastly, we need to resist the unbelief that pain can bring us. And instead, just praise God in faith. Just begin to praise God when we're in the midst of our pain. And this is what Jeremiah does. He resists unbelief. He does that in verse 11. But the Lord is with me. Did that change the fact he had just been beaten up? No. Did that change the fact that he's not very happy being made fun of by people? No. But in defiance of it, he resists abandoning the Lord or his call or his purpose. He resists unbelief, and he just declares by faith, no, I know that even here in the middle of my pain, the Lord is with me. And he's like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors, guess what? You're going to stumble and you won't prevail. He's saying, I'm not experiencing it right now, but I'm looking forward. I'm seeing a day when the word of the Lord is going to prevail. And I'm going to make it through this. I'm not a victim of what everybody's done to me. It's not because God doesn't love me or care about me. He was with me every moment. All night long in those stocks while I was coming up with a new name for pasture. He was with me. He was with me when I decided to stop preaching. And his fire just burned in me so hard that I couldn't step away from my purpose and my calling. Why? Because the Lord is with me. And there's something inside of me that knows no matter what happens to me in this world, I'm with God. Jesus embodied that. I'm with you like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail. And the disgrace they wanted for me, that's the very thing they're going to experience. And guess what? Their dishonor will never be forgotten. And I challenge you this morning, let's take on that attitude no matter what the devil might be pushing you around, but in Jesus' name, the Lord is the victor over him. He defeated the devil on the cross, so we don't live in defeat. I mean, things may not turn around quickly for us. There may be a season of pain. And they certainly didn't for Jeremiah. But here's what carries us through. It's the fire of God's Spirit in our heart and the confidence that our God is a mighty warrior. And He's here for us and He's not against us. And that's why we stand in faith. And then Jeremiah, he just starts to praise the Lord in verse 13. Sing to the Lord, he says. There's a song in my heart and I can't keep quiet. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. And some of this is just standing by faith. But he said, just praise God. Praise the Lord. He didn't get stuck for the rest of his life because it was just too painful. He didn't stop the purposes of God in his life. He just found fresh fire in his heart. And my prayer is that we find that today. And like Jeremiah, we just resolve to sing to the Lord and give praise to the Lord. Why? Because we know He's the rescuer. I know He's a Savior. I know He is a life giver. And He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the devil and from the hands of the wicked. Praise God, He does that for us today. He's going to help us. And that's why on the night before he was crucified, Jesus said to his disciples, these men who would face a lot in the next few hours, days, and weeks. So he said these words in John 16, 33. I'd like for you to read it out loud with me. Let's read it together. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus, that you have indeed overcome the world. 2,000 years ago, and there's nothing that we're hurting about today that you haven't felt the same way. And you understand exactly what we're going through. And Lord, you're not shaming us today. You're understanding us. Thank you for what you did at the cross. Lord, you became our healer. You defeated the power of the enemy. You gave hope where there's hopelessness. You give life where we feel like death is knocking at our door. And Lord, we pray you'll fill us with the fire and the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, let the fire of God burn hotter than the things that press against us from the outside. Lord, keep our hearts close to you, Father. Lord, we speak the name of Jesus over everything that would intimidate us. We speak the name of Jesus over everything that's designed by darkness against us. We speak the name of Jesus over sickness this morning. We speak the name of Jesus over family problems. We speak the name of Jesus over brokenness all around us. Lord, we thank you that you have overcome the world. Lord, thank you that there's peace within your presence, that there's hope, Lord, there's freedom. Lord, we speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety today. And Lord, we pray that you would break every stronghold, Father, that you would just burn like a fire within our hearts today, Lord. Lord, we declare your triumph in our lives. Lord, thank you for the healing that's coming, even though we may not feel it right at this moment. Lord, thank you for the breakthroughs that are coming. Thank you, Father, that you are for us and you're not against us. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We praise your name today, Lord. May our praise, like Jeremiah's, bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.